Every decent Israeli hates Vanunu. He's a born traitor. He betrayed his, he will betray his church, he betrayed his synagogue, he betrayed his nation, he betrayed his country, he betrayed his working place, he betrayed his colleagues. There are people for whom betrayal seems to be second nature.
He embodies the contradiction in American foreign policy. Modi's revelations that there are more weapons of mass destruction in Israel and the rest of the Middle East put together is an embarrassing revelation for this country and for the US.
Looking back, if you could turn the clock back to 1986, would you have done what you did? Or
absolutely,
would you...
absolutely, because what I did is to inform the world what is going on in secret. I didn't come and say we should destroy Israel or should destroy Dimona. I said, look what they have and make your judgment. My view is you should not have this stuff, these nuclear weapons.
The revelations and incarceration of Mordechai Vanunu in 1986, following his allegations of Israel's secret nuclear arsenal, unveiled what many believe is the world's sixth nuclear weapons power. 20 years later, we have a seventh and an eighth in India and Pakistan. And there are undoubtedly more to follow, with North Korea tipped to test one, and though they're an early signatory of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, Iran is on the verge of having the technology, if not the will. But back then, to the horror of all, except for the US financiers and the French and British technology partners, Israel's weapons arsenal was exposed by a former worker at its Dimona nuclear research facility. The nuclear whistleblower was Mordechai Vanunu, and he was to spend the next 18 years in jail. Upon his release in 2004, he reiterated again the reasons why he exposed the nuclear weapons arsenal, and his words today continue to challenge all nations to think again about nuclear proliferation.
To all those who are calling me traitor, I am saying I am proud and happy to do what I did. I am very glad that I succeed to do what I did. I will continue to speak against all kinds of nuclear weapons. I want the President of the United States, George Bush, and Tony Blair, and Gerhard Schröder, Vladimir Putin, all the leaders should speak about Israel nuclear secrets. Time come to end this silence and secret cooperation by the West.
Israel is not a signatory of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, or NPT, which monitors the flow of uranium within and between nuclear states. Neither is Pakistan or India. So in 2006, when the United States and Australia speak of the new uranium market in India, how does this place the NPT and nuclear safeguards? Australia's Foreign Minister Alexander Downer says the government is investigating a homegrown uranium enrichment program.
Australia obviously is a very stable country politically. Australia has 40 or so percent of the world's exploitable uranium reserves, and Australia has been a long-standing and strong leader in the non-proliferation movement. So looking at it on that basis, it would be preferable for enriched uranium to come from countries like Australia and maybe some others which you might politely describe as less stable.
Well, I think that's remarkably condescending.
Professor Richard Bronowski is a former ambassador to Vietnam, South Korea, Mexico and many others. His book Fact or Fission, The Truth About Australia's Nuclear Ambitions, explores this and many other angles of these issues.
He's not game to say which those countries that are not responsible are, and he misses a fact about the Howard government's own record, signing on to the National Missile Defense Program and Theater Missile Defense Programs of the United States, both of which are very strong pressure points for proliferation in our region. That's hardly a responsible thing for the Howard government to do. Saying that we will enrich uranium in Australia and not giving any indication of whether this meant under a leasing arrangement or not is highly irresponsible. And also being very selective and uncritical of the United States' continuing program to develop its own nuclear weapons and not criticise that is also highly irresponsible. I think Mr Downer, quite frankly, has very strong double standards.
Leslie Kemeny is Australia's member of the International Nuclear Energy Academy and has taught in nuclear engineering throughout the world. He is pro-nuclear and believes Australia can roll out an airtight nuclear leasing program.
I believe that the demand for energy and the demand for a clean environment and a reduction, perhaps even the eventual elimination of climate change due to carbon dioxide, is so strong. Most countries are now voting very much pro-nuclear, and I think Australia will follow.
How could Australia, with its talk now of its export of uranium, how can it safeguard its uranium from cradle to grave, from being used in domestic energy supply compared to nuclear arsenal building?
The world recognises that Australia, with its major uranium resource, which seems to be increasing almost by the month, and we are only speaking of top-grade, easily recoverable or relatively cheaply recoverable resources, can play a big part in non-proliferation. It has obeyed, it has been compliant, and it's a signatory of the Non-Proliferation Treaty. I would personally, this is a personal opinion, when I came back from Britain the late 60s, I saw the technological possibility of Australia playing a huge part in non-proliferation by being fully involved in the full nuclear fuel cycle. That is, by not just exporting U-308, yellow cake, to various countries and seeing those countries go to other countries for enrichment and fuel element manufacture in many cases. And on the rear end of the cycle, potentially two countries reprocess nuclear fuel. If Australia offered the world this whole nuclear industry, it would certainly play a huge part in ensuring non-proliferation. I think few Australians realise that every country north of us, and we're not now just speaking of India and China, but Indonesia has a firm nuclear power programme. They would like to see their first peaceful nuclear power station online by about 2016, commencing in around about 2010. Vietnam is in that position. Malaysia is in a similar position. If we became a reliable source of fuel for all our neighbours, then the more we became involved in enrichment and potentially in taking the spent, the irradiated nuclear fuel, either disposing of it in our country, which has the best geology for it, probably the best geology in the world, or reprocessing, then we could be doing the world a great service in three areas: in energy supply, in greenhouse gas reduction, and in non-proliferation.
Howard talks about joining the Global Nuclear Energy Partnership of George W. Bush. That in itself is a transgression of the NPT, because it's saying countries that should have the right to develop any kind of civil nuclear technology, including enrichment and reprocessing, are now not allowed to do so. So it's a double standard by the United States. They're trying to impose their will on the world. And many countries who are not nuclear weapon states but see some attraction in developing them find this completely unacceptable, and Iran is one of them.
But as time goes by, if India were to meet safeguard obligations, some Australians would see it as anomalous if we would sell uranium to China but not to India. But at the moment it would be against policy, and there would need to be good reasons to change that policy, but the issue is obviously under consideration.
I think I'd prefer to draw a parallel between the case of Israel, if I may, and Iran. If Ahmadinejad and the Iranians get a nuclear weapon, it would be regarded as an intolerable situation. My view, though, is that Iran is developing, has exactly the same motivation for developing nuclear weapons as Israel. That is, as a deterrent against attack from outsiders.
Isn't it some double standards that Iran has been part of the Non-Proliferation Treaty for 36 years?
Yes, it is a double standard. Israel is not a signatory to the NPT. Neither is India or Pakistan.
Iran is, and this shows the weakness of the treaty, because there's no way in which, if a country wishes to develop nuclear weapons and remain, it can remain a signatory, and it won't be found out until it's ready to say, there you are, we've got weapons and we're going to walk away from the treaty.
When could the NPT just be dissolved and everyone just walks away from it?
Adam, I'm optimistic about this. I don't think it will be... It's like saying, when does a nation state collapse, you know? I don't think the NPT necessarily will collapse. And quite frankly, I think we have a government that claims to be enormously responsible about nuclear weapons and technology and the export of our uranium. The best thing this government could do would be to say, yes, we have one-third of the proven, economically recoverable uranium resources in the world. We are going to use that as a lever, a diplomatic lever, to begin a process to review the whole nuclear non-proliferation regime. And that would be something that Australia could do, and it would restore, quite frankly, the status that we once did have when Gareth Evans was Foreign Minister, of being a responsible international citizen. It would be wonderful to see such an initiative. But I'm afraid, looking closely at the pronouncements of our Prime Minister and Foreign Minister, that's probably one of the least likely things to happen.